Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local Republicans at Odds About Endorsements by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Some local Republicans are unhappy about the Ector County Republican Party's City Council candidate endorsements, claiming the action is misleading and unfairly favors the candidates in question over other GOP contenders in what is usually a nonpartisan race. By them going out and endorsing a candidate because they're elected precinct chairs and saying the entire party endorses along with them, it's very misleading and it's harmful to other candidates, said Ronnie Lewis, a member of the Ector County Republican Women's Club. Other candidates in the future can see this type of bias, and it could keep a good candidate from coming forth. Although there are other Republican candidates running for council seats, the ECRP Executive Board recently endorsed, via an email vote, District 2 candidate Rachel Miner, District 1 candidate Mark Mata, at-large candidate Denise Swanner, and mayoral candidate Javier Hoven. Ector County Republican Party Chairman Tisha Crow said the action was taken because of what she claimed was a lack of responsibility to voters by the current city council. She added that all of those endorsed have guaranteed they wouldn't issue certificates of obligations unless there were a real emergency, such as a tornado causing major damage to the city. The group's executive board comprises locally elected Republican precinct chairs, and Crow said Tuesday that none of those members voted against the decision to endorse the four candidates. She did note that Hoven, who is also a precinct chair, and fellow executive board member Sherry Hurt abstained from voting. But Hurt also took issue with the action, noting, "I replied to an email to everyone on the full board and the executive board of the party that I would not endorse." Hurt, who also serves as president of the Ector County Republican Women's Club, ECRW, said she voted not to endorse anyone because of her affiliation with the ECRW, as well as state and national Republican women's clubs. "I wouldn't have publicly endorsed anyone because I feel like it's our job, probably because I'm the president of the local club, and I work nationally and throughout the state," she said. "I feel like it's important just from things that I have learned to encourage everyone, all of the Republicans. And so therefore, that's what I try to do. Different candidates will call me. I will encourage them. I will remain neutral." Hurt added that according to ECRW local, state, and national bylaws, there's just certain expectations to not ever endorse one candidate ever over another Republican, ever. "My main thing I want to convey is, win or lose, we all live in a pretty small town, relatively, and by encouraging everybody to do their best, at the end of the day, we need to all be able to get along and to go forward," she said. The city council election has traditionally been a nonpartisan one, in that candidates do not run under any political party affiliation. Crow said it has been about 10 years since the ECRP has endorsed candidates for the council elections. A representative of the Ector County Democratic Party confirmed they are not endorsing city council candidates. Some local Republicans assert that what the ECRP Executive Board did goes too far. Former City Council member Kirk Edwards said he is concerned with how the ECRP has conducted candidate endorsements and added he has never believed the local GOP group has represented views of the majority of local Republicans. "I have never felt like the so-called Ector County Republican Party has ever represented me or the vast majority of Republicans in this county," he said. "And it's a shame that that title has been hijacked by a group of people that are scheming to take over certain positions on our city council, as they have done in the past, trying to subvert our incredibly good state representative races over the past 4 to 6 years." Edwards said that city council races are nonpartisan and there's never been a party preference. That's why it's incredibly important for voters in Ector County to understand that these have never been partisan races, and for a group to come out and make it a partisan race when it's not one is just ridiculous and self-serving, he said. For us to step back and let a group of people hijack the city council for their own purposes as a squad, I've just never heard of it before in our local political history, and it's a shame. Edwards also spoke on the semantics of the local GOP. Just the term, the Ector County Republican Party, I have no idea what that means, he said. It's completely opposite of our Ector County Republican Women's Group, which is a vibrant, healthy cross-section of Republicans in Ector County. And to me, there's a vast confusion of the two, and it's being manipulated in a way that makes that group seem like they're the mainstream when they're completely anything but. But Crow defended the executive board's endorsements. We have for years been asked, how did we allow this person, whoever this person might be, when they're not a true fiscal conservative? How did we allow them to get into office? Why didn't anyone tell us differently? Well, so we decided to start doing so, she said. When someone isn't going to be the conservative people believe them to be, then we make sure that if there is a conservative within the race, we will from now on be endorsing that conservative. Crow added that the community won't always endorse candidates, but chose to this election. Lewis emphasized he had no problem with the endorsed candidates, but takes issue with the ECRP's actions of picking out four candidates under the assumption that the entire Republican Party in Ector County is backing them. From what I can understand, the executive board has expressed that they have the right, the authority, and the power to speak for the entire Republican Party, and therefore they see no problem with endorsing their four chosen candidates, he said. And they say this because the executive board is made up of precinct chairs, so by being a precinct chair, they feel like they wield this kind of authority. Lewis said that he doesn't know his precinct chair and said he was willing to bet the majority of Ector County voters don't know their respective precinct chairs. I have no issues with these four candidates. I just don't want a small group of people thinking they have this power to stack our city council, Lewis said. Because if they campaign in lockstep, I'm willing to bet they'll vote in lockstep. Another Odessan reported another incident which raised concerns to him about the ECRP's endorsements. Roy Hunt said he recently went to the Republican headquarters to buy President Trump signs for his yard, and a man told him the signs were $3 apiece, but that if Hunt took a Javier Hoven sign, then the Trump sign would be free. Hunt said he declined the offer, noting it would look awkward next to a Dewey Bryant for mayor sign. After I got to thinking about it, it made me mad, he said. I mean, he's offering me free signs and he's charging everybody else, except if they'll put a Hoven sign in their yard. That really irked me. Hunt said that he returned to the headquarters and asked the people working there if the incident was wrong and was told it shouldn't have happened. Crow said that the local GOP does not give away free Trump signs if voters take a Javier Hoven sign, but that one of Hoven's block walkers was doing that for people. He bought a bunch, she said, adding that they are also giving away signs if people have had theirs stolen. She said a lot of volunteers for candidates have also been volunteering at the GOP headquarters, so it was possible that a candidate volunteer had also given away free signs at the headquarters. Other residents recently reported receiving separate door hanger ads for Trump, Hoven, Minor, and Swanner that were all rubber-banded together. Crow said that everything done inside the party is through volunteers, and so the people who put up door hangers were not local GOP officials. In fact, most of those people gave money to those candidates to pay for the door hangers at which they were out hanging, she said. We've not written any candidate a check. We can't do that. We don't have a PAC, P-A-C, so we can't hand a check to any candidate. She added that candidates pay for most campaign materials out of their campaign funds, adding that one that we've paid for is a Trump card that also lists the early voting polling places, the times, and the address of the headquarters. That card also includes the endorsed city council candidates, she said. Crow also spoke about the nonpartisan and bipartisan idea of city council election and said that there's no such thing in politics as bipartisan. Every single vote for every single everything is not bipartisan. Pedestrian-bicyclists collisions remain concern for TxDOT. OA News at OAOA.com. Austin. The Texas Department of Transportation is beginning a public awareness campaign in October that urges Texans to drive smart, walk smart, and bike smart. According to a TxDOT press release, fatalities from crashes involving pedestrians are on the rise in Texas and now account for nearly 1 in 5 of all of the state's traffic deaths. In 2019, there were reportedly 668 people who died in pedestrian-related crashes in Texas, which increased by 5% from 2018, and more than 1,300 were seriously injured. Crashes that involved bicyclists in 2019 also claimed the lives of 68 people and seriously injured 313, the press release stated. TxDOT has seen pedestrian and bicyclist fatalities increase over the last 5 years. Whether you're behind the wheel, on foot, or riding a bicycle, we're reminding Texans to make traffic safety their number one concern when they're out and about, TxDOT Executive Director James Bass stated in the press release. The COVID-19 pandemic has taught us the importance of looking after ourselves and others in our communities, and we're asking the public to apply that same responsibility to safely sharing the road and obeying traffic laws. The press release also details that nearly half of all pedestrians and cyclists who died last year on Texas streets and highways were between the ages of 21 and 49. Most of those people were living in urban areas, as 73% of the pedestrians and 90% of the cyclists were men. Drivers should reportedly take specific steps to protect pedestrians and bicyclists who are more likely to be killed or seriously injured when involved in a collision with a motor vehicle. State laws mandate stopping for pedestrians in crosswalks, yielding the right-of-way to pedestrians and cyclists when turning, and passing cyclists at a safe distance and giving them room to ride. Pedestrians should cross the street only at intersections and crosswalks, obey all traffic and crosswalk signals, and always use sidewalks when available, the press release stated. If there isn't a sidewalk, pedestrians should walk on the left side of the street or road, facing oncoming traffic. More than 3,000 traffic crashes involving pedestrians occurred last year in Austin, Dallas, El Paso, Fort Worth, Houston, and San Antonio, which resulted in 287 deaths. These cities also saw more than 1,100 bicycle crashes that resulted in 30 deaths and 113 serious injuries. COVID-19 rapid testing pilot program announced for schools. OA News at OAOA.com. Governor Greg Abbott, the Texas Education Agency, and the Texas Division of Emergency Management Wednesday announced the creation of a COVID-19 rapid testing pilot program for Texas school systems. This program will help schools conduct rapid tests of district employees and students with the written permission of their parents to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 on campuses. Through this pilot program, TDEM will provide participating school systems with COVID-19 rapid antigen tests that will be administered to students, teachers, and staff who choose to participate. Schools enrolled in the program will also receive personal protective equipment, PPE, to safely administer the rapid tests, which produced reliable results within 15 minutes. The launch of the pilot program will include 8 participating school systems, with plans to significantly ramp up the program across the state. Texas public and private schools interested in applying for the testing program will be able to apply through the Texas Education Agency no later than October 28th. Participating school systems include Bob Hope School, Port Arthur, Fabians ISD, Grace Community School, Tyler, Granger ISD, Lampasas ISD, Longview ISD, Harlingen Consolidated ISD, and Isleta ISD. CCFCU to give back to the community. OA News at OAOA.com. Every October, credit unions around the world come together to celebrate International Credit Union Day. This year, it takes place today. In honor of the day and its 62nd anniversary of serving West Texas, Complex Community Federal Credit Union team members will be conducting 62 acts of kindness all across the Permian Basin. Team members will be dropping off goodies at hospitals, police and fire stations, schools, and other organizations that serve West Texas. Due to the pandemic, this year the credit union will only be dropping off items instead of its usual acts, such as meeting with first responders and reading to local students, just to name a few. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, October 15th, 2020, page 2, read. Retired lawmen receive Cunningham Award by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Jesse Duarte and Joe Commander will never take this award for granted. For both of them, the Justin Cunningham Law Enforcement Award ranks right up at the top of their list of accomplishments. The two were presented with the laurel in a ceremony Wednesday afternoon on the west side of the Ector County Courthouse. Cunningham served as first assistant district attorney of Ector County. He died September 10th, 2018, of natural causes at age 39. This is the second year that the honor has been bestowed. District Attorney Bobby Blant spoke about Cunningham at the award ceremony. It's really humbling that 2 years after we lost Justin Cunningham, so many people have come out here to honor his memory and support law enforcement, Bland said. It's a testament to what Justin had on this community. Bland said they had planned on doing the award ceremony earlier this year on Justin's birthday, April 23rd, but COVID-19 had other plans. Duarte and Commander were each awarded a plaque from Bland. Duarte started working with the Odessa Police Department in February 1985 and held that position before retiring in March of this year. He now works for the Texas Tech Police Department. It means the world to me, Duarte said after the ceremony. Over the years, I've gotten awards from DEA, FBI, and this is special because Justin was a special individual. He was here for justice. He wanted to provide justice to people. Sometimes people don't really mesh, but he was able to build bridges. He knows exactly where he wants to hang up his award. I'm going to put it in my office as soon as I'm done here, Duarte said. Commander retired earlier this year after 19 years as the chief investigator for the district attorney. It means the world to me, Commander said. I took care of Justin Cunningham when he first went to work with us. I was his investigator. His family, they've always treated me like family. His mom, his wife, his dad. I've known his family for a long time. Earlier this year, Commander was awarded the Chuck Dennis Investigator of the Year Award at the Texas District and County Attorney Association Investigator School in Austin. Commander has compiled over 37 years of experience in law enforcement. I was very proud of that. But I'm equally proud of this one because Justin was my friend. Commander says he plans on hanging his award up in his living room, along with his other accolades. That'll be right up there with the rest of the awards at the top, he said. I couldn't ask for a better way to end my career. Runoffs. City council and mayor candidates need 50% plus one of the vote to win their election, and City Secretary Norma Grimaldo said that a runoff date has not been scheduled. Who is running? Mayor Dewey Bryant, Javier Hovind, and Gloria Apolinario. District 1, Eddie Mitchell, Michael Shelton, Mark Mata, and Tiki Davis. District 2, Stephen Thompson and Rachel Miner. At large, Denise Swanner, David Turner, Joanne Davenport Littleton, and Latasha Gentry. Election 2020. Early voting continues to October 30th. Visit https://www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ectorelections for more information. Election day is November 3rd. Supporting the Blue. Stonegate Fellowship of Odessa recently treated Odessa Police Department officers to a variety of snacks and goodies. Courtesy photos. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Opinion. Texas View. Abbott makes right move in latest phase of reopening. The Point. County officials have a better handle on their specific virus numbers. After an agonizing and financially devastating stretch of more than 3 months, Texas bars and alcohol-related businesses may once again open, per an announcement last week from Governor Greg Abbott. The governor's order was effective Wednesday and not without its caveats. Such businesses can open only with the blessing of their respective county's government and if they follow protocols meant to slow the spread of the virus. Just as quickly, officials in Dallas County and Harris County said their bars would remain closed for the time being because of a continuing high number of COVID-19 cases, according to the Texas Tribune. Along those lines, Abbott said the order does not include regions where coronavirus patients take up at least 15% of hospital capacity. Amarillo is one of 5 hospital regions across the state affected. It will mark the first time since late June for bars to open. That's when Abbott once again ordered them shuttered in the face of rapidly accelerating coronavirus numbers across the state. In many instances, virus outbreaks were traced back to bars, where public health protocols were relaxed or ignored after they reopened days before the Memorial Day holiday. The decision sparked protests and lawsuits on behalf of alcohol-related operations suddenly forced to shut down. For a second time now since the pandemic took hold in March, bars will be reopened for in-person service. Restrictions include they'd be limited to 50% capacity and that customers must be seated while eating or drinking. This most recent order includes no outdoors capacity limits on alcohol-related businesses. It is time to open up more, provided that safe protocols continue to be followed, Abbott said in a Facebook video. If everyone continues the safe practices, Texas will be able to contain COVID and we will be able to reopen 100%. These operations will need to adhere to the guidelines this time around to avoid a repeat. As we have written before, maintaining social distance and not gathering in large groups are difficult to practice in bars. Last time the bars were closed, blame was cast on a small percentage of owner-operators disregarding guidelines, triggering the order that closed bars. That means enforcing social distancing and strict observance of capacity restrictions. Along those lines, the Texas Bar and Nightclub Alliance devised guidelines in late August that included similar measures as well as other steps such as temperature checks at the door and mandatory face masks for servers. On a similar note, The Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission said it will work with county governments on protocols to guide officials and businesses. According to the Tribune's story, Abbott reiterated how the state's seven-day average for the positivity rate, the number of new virus cases and hospitalizations and fatalities, have remained steady since the most recent phase of the state's reopening. While Abbott has been criticized in some corners for leaving this decision in the hands of county government, it makes sense. Local officials have a better handle on their specific virus numbers, and a one-size-fits-all approach simply would not work. Local businesses have been severely damaged, and people have lost their livelihood. The time is right for the next slow, measured step in reopening the economy. Alcohol-related businesses have been asking for relief for months. Now, when they reopen, it is up to them to do all they can to balance public health with their business interests. Amarillo Globe News. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, October 15th, 2020, Death Notices. Wanda Linnell Lewis Haynes, Odessa. Wanda Linnell Lewis Haynes, 65, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 10th, 2020, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, October 16th, 2020, at Rose of Sharon Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Windsor Archie is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Martina Esparza Covarrubio, Odessa. Martina Esparza Covarrubio, 73, of Odessa, died Friday, October 9th, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martina's Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Winton Evander Dick Jones, Odessa. Winton Evander Dick Jones, 68, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, October 16th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Juan Amezquita Rios, Sr., Odessa. Juan Amezquita Rios, Sr., 63, of Odessa, Texas, died Thursday, October 1st, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. October 19th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery. Josh Zuniga is officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
Obituaries for Wednesday, October 14th. Benny Joe Carr. Benny Joe Carr, 86, of Denver City, passed away Saturday, October 10th. Memorial services will be held at a later date under the direction of Ratliff Funeral Home of Denver City. Benny Joe Carr was born March 13, 1934, in Erath County to Mood and Ruby Ray Carr. He married Earlene Hudgepeth in 1952 in Lovington, New Mexico. He was preceded in death by his parents, his wife Earlene, and a grandson, Jody Ray Carr. Benny is survived by his daughter, Rebecca Carr of Denver City, two sons, Benny Joe Carr Jr. and his wife, Raina of Leveland, and Daniel Carr of Midland, a granddaughter, along with a great-grandson, all of Lubbock. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be sent to the Alzheimer's Association. Colleen Frost. Colleen Frost was born in Odessa December 6, 1938, to Robert and Elba Watson. She married Jack Frost in 1959 in Odessa. Colleen is survived by her husband of 61 years, Jack C. Frost, her children, James Hayden Frost, John Mark Frost, Crystal Frost Rogers, and a son-in-law, Keith Warren Rogers. 4 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, her siblings, Charlotte Collie, Lou Cook, and Bill Watson, and numerous nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, please donate to the Alzheimer's Association or donate funds for trees at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Funeral services will be Friday, October 16th at 2 p.m. at Northside Baptist Church in Odessa. A private burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The family will be hosting an outdoor visitation Saturday from 10 to 12 at 1605 Wedgwood. Guests may come and go during that time. At the family's request, all COVID precautions will be followed at all gatherings. All who attend will be asked to wear a mask and practice social distancing. Arrangements by Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Directors. Death notices. Martina Esparza Covarrubio. Martina Esparza Covarrubio, 73, died Friday, October 9th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martina's Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Arturo Olivas Contreras. Arturo Olivas Contreras, 58, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 10th. Mass will be celebrated at 12 p.m. noon, Friday, October 16th at Acres West 24-hour Funeral Chapel. Sunset Memorial Gardens made the arrangements. Eddie Luna Laura. Eddie Luna Laura, 53, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 10th in Midland. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martina's Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Wanda Lanell Lewis Haynes. Wanda Lanell Lewis Haynes, 65, died Saturday, October 10th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martina's Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. Bachelor degree opportunities on local community college campus. In December, Stephen McDonald will graduate from Sul Ross State University, SRSU, with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and he's never taken a class on the SRSU campus in Alpine. Thanks to an articulation agreement between SRSU and Midland College, MC, McDonald has been able to complete all courses on the MC campus and online. McDonald has lived in West Texas for most of his life and said that he plans to stay here. After having lived in Fort Stockton for a short time, his family moved to Midland, and McDonald graduated from Midland High School in 2016. He followed his older brother to the University of Oklahoma and took a few courses there before transferring to Rose State College in Midwest City, Oklahoma, where he obtained an associate degree in criminal justice in May 2018. McDonald said that once he obtained an associate degree, he moved back to Midland to be near his family and complete his criminal justice education. Fortunately, MC and SRSU offered an opportunity for him to do both. In addition to a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, SRSU also offers upper-level undergraduate courses on the Midland College main campus in biology, cybersecurity, English, geology, history, interdisciplinary studies, mathematics, and Spanish. Criminal justice really appealed to me, not necessarily the law enforcement aspect, but the opportunity to help people, McDonald said. Even now, with all the unrest in the nation regarding police officers, I still want to pursue a criminal justice field. There are other avenues other than uniformed patrol officers, like working in a corrections facility, probation parole officer, and court bailiff. In fact, according to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, careers requiring criminal justice bachelor's degrees are some of the fastest growing in today's modern economy. The most recent Occupational Outlook Handbook shows that corrections officers, for instance, are expected to see an 18% increase in need over the next 10 years. This surpasses the 14% seen by all jobs on average. All my upper-level criminal justice courses are online courses, McDonald said. However, I was able to take some courses on the MC campus in person, such as geology, government, and speech. There are advantages and disadvantages to both. Online courses offer flexibility in schedule, but I miss the one-on-one interaction with professors and other students. Fortunately, I was able to take a combination of both types of courses. In his spare time, McDonald enjoys video games and tabletop role-play games, as well as cooking and baking, especially bread. McDonald has also worked for Midland College as a part-time security guard. After graduation in December, he said that he will pursue full-time employment in either Midland or Lubbock. I have been to the Solross campus in Alpine to visit with professors and advisors, but I've never actually taken a class in Alpine, McDonald explained. It's been great because all my classes are right here in Midland. I'm hoping to be back to Alpine in December for my graduation ceremony.
Hello, this is Cindy reading viewpoints from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, October 11th. Stand with Bob. Few continues to make call for America to stand up for religious freedom. Randall Everett, 21 Wilberforce. When Bob Few arrived in the United States in 1997 as a fugitive from China, he would have never dreamed that one day he and his family would be forced to leave for a safe house in this country because a threat had been made on his life. Guo Wengui, a Chinese billionaire in the U.S., and living in a Manhattan penthouse, built a following as a blogger under the alias Miles Kwok. Beginning in January, he began to target Bob Fu, and recently posted a message on YouTube openly calling on his followers to kill Bob Fu and others he listed on a global Kill Cheaters campaign, claiming Bob to be a communist spy. This past week, agitators showed up in front of Bob's house every day as a reminder of the serious nature of the warning. Local law officials and the FBI moved Bob and his family to a safe house for their protection. His situation is another reminder that communist China tries to silence dissidents, even if they live in Midland, Texas. This is not the first time Bob and Heidi have been targeted by the Chinese. They both became Christians after the Tiananmen Square massacre when Chinese soldiers killed innocent students in 1989. Bob believed he could work within the government framework and still share the gospel, but he soon learned the Communist Party would not tolerate his beliefs. During the day, Bob taught English to future communist leaders, and in the evening he trained leaders for the illegal church. Bob called himself a double agent, that later provided the name for his excellent autobiography, God's Double Agent. Ultimately, Bob and Heidi both were sent to prison for their activities. When they were released from prison, it wasn't long before Heidi became pregnant with their first child, even though they had not received permission from the government. Their only option to keep from aborting the baby was to flee China. After a courageous and miraculous escape from China, they arrived in Hong Kong, where they learned they could not get a visa for the U.S. The clock was ticking because Hong Kong was on the verge of Britain transferring Hong Kong to China. Just after Heidi gave birth to their first child, and days before the transition, Bob and Heidi were at McDonald's when they were interviewed by a reporter from ABC News with Peter Jennings. He asked Bob about his opinion of the impending change in Hong Kong's transition. Bob boldly responded, "Actually, I'm a religious dissident from China, and my family will certainly be arrested again for our Christian religious beliefs unless the United States government will act on our behalf." He continued, "The countdown to the handover is a countdown to our imprisonment. Please, America, stand up for religious freedom." Bob's plea spread like a wildfire across America and resulted in a letter from President Bill Clinton telling the U.S. consulate to let the Few family go. It would have been easy for Bob and Heidi to enjoy the freedoms of life in the U.S. and never look back. Yet their love for Christ and for their homeland motivated Bob to become one of the leading voices in America for religious freedom in China. Bob has made friends among faith leaders of all religions and has also become a friend to members of Congress and leaders of four administrations, including several presidents. I've heard prominent Americans speak of Bob's integrity, courage, and humility. He and I joined a small group who met with Vice President Pence to share our concerns that human rights issues in China are worse now than any time since the Cultural Revolution. We spoke about the atrocities against the Uyghur Muslims of China and the Falun Gong, as well as the increased persecution of Christians. Deborah Fikes and the Midland Ministerial Alliance became friends with Bob and worked with Mid-Cities Church and others to relocate the family to Midland, where he would be much safer than in Philadelphia. Bob began to serve as an associate pastor at Mid-Cities while he continued to do advocacy work in D.C., as well as the UN, and training house church pastors and human rights lawyers in the Asia-Pacific. In April 2006, Fu invited seven Chinese human rights activists to Washington, D.C. During the visit, they met with President Bush at the White House. The group included the prominent Chinese human rights attorney, Lai Baiguang, and Chinese pastor Wang Yi. In 2017, just a couple of weeks after the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C. that Lai attended, we were saddened by the news that Baiguang had died in a Chinese hospital of liver failure. In a Reuters article by Christian Shepherd on February 26, 2018, Lai's death was described as suspicious since he had been healthy and never drank alcohol. Former Congressman Frank Wolf said he and Bob had met with Lai just over a week before he died, and he showed no signs of illness. On December 30, 2019, Wang Yi was sentenced to 9 years in prison. He was the pastor of the Early Rain Covenant Church and had been arrested a year earlier with dozens of other church leaders. Bob knows the cost that comes to those who stand up to an oppressive government like China. Lai Baiguang and Wang Yi are only two of a long list of friends of Bob Fu who have suffered and continue to suffer for their faith. What the Uyghur people in northwest China are experiencing in China is the Holocaust of our day. The plight of Christians and other religious minorities are not far behind. Under the leadership of President Xi Jinping, the Chinese Communist Party seeks to control all aspects of life. Internet firewalls are built to keep information away from their own citizens. Prisons are filled with good people who seek only to live lives of peace and prosperity. Bob has been confronted with the two temptations of being silenced by evil people as well as being seduced by powerful people. While some bask in the favor of presidents and senators, accommodating the leaders' agendas for a photo op or withdrawing from engagement with injustice, Bob stands strong, honest, courageous, and humble. Bob's statement to the ABC reporter in Hong Kong needs to be heard today. Please, America, stand up for religious freedom. Stand up to the tyranny of China. Stop allowing our government officials who leave office to work for law firms that support companies controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. Stop buying products from the companies that benefit from the forced labor of prisoners in China. Stop taking our religious freedom in the U.S. for granted. One day, while I was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Midland, I received a call from Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia, who asked me what it would take to wake up the church in America to the persecution of Christians globally. Shortly after that conversation, Michael Horowitz, a prominent attorney from the D.C. community, came to Midland and spoke with me about the urgency of the Western Church to respond to the persecution of Christians. Both spoke how Bob Fu and China Aid were models of engagement with the persecuted in China. Our organization, 21 Wilberforce, was born from those conversations. Michael Horowitz said, "The Chinese regime understands that the spread of religious faith and a principle-based legal system in China threatens its very survival as nothing else does. As the person who defends, defines, and inspires the tens of million brave house church Christians of China and quietly supports China's human rights attorneys, Bob Fu is thus a critical history shaper for generations to come." Randall Everett is a former pastor at First Baptist Church in Midland. Fu Fu's love for God is evident in his tireless pursuit of justice for all. Daniel Stevens, Mid-Cities Church. There have been unfounded accusations by unqualified individuals in recent weeks, falsely claiming that Bob Fu is not a pastor. The accusation couldn't be farther from the truth. Pastor Bob Fu has been an integral and vibrant part of our community for almost two decades. The entire time he has resided in Midland, he has been on the pastoral staff of Mid-Cities Community Church. He has engaged in pastoral responsibilities and found tirelessly for religious freedom in China and various parts of the world. As a licensed minister of the gospel, Bob has worked with multiple churches and denominations in the body of Christ to pray and advocate for those oppressed and imprisoned by the communist Chinese government by their faith. Beyond Bob's responsibilities and mission, he has personally participated in our faith community. We have prayed, worshiped, fought, cried, and celebrated together. Bob's humility and sincere faith are unequal among his contemporaries. His love for God, God's Word, and God's creation is evident in his tireless pursuit of justice for all. In an environment where anyone with internet access has an opportunity to spread baseless accusations, fake news, one does not have to examine too closely to discover that any allegations that Bob Fu is not a pastor is categorically false. As Jesus taught in Luke 6:44, each tree is known by its own fruit. As someone who has walked with Bob for nearly two decades, I can, without reservation, say that his life bears good fruit. What they said about Bob Fu, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. Shameful. Chinese Communist Party, CCP, is targeting an American citizen, Bob Fu, in America, for harassment at his home. Bob is a fearless voice for human rights in China and Xi, and the other despots fear him. The Chinese Communist Party is the new evil empire, and we must stand united against them. Congressman Mike Conaway, Texas, 11th. Dr. Fu is a respected and valued member of our community, a Christian and a personal friend. After fleeing religious imprisonment in China and coming to the United States as a refugee in 1997, he has dedicated his life to exposing human rights violations and advocating on behalf of other Christians in China who are facing persecution, including testifying before Congress, the United Nations, and the European Union, and even briefing then-President of the United States, George W. Bush, in 2008. These accusations against him are outrageous and laughable, as Dr. Fu is himself a victim of the Chinese Communist Party. The CCP has proven themselves an adversary of religious freedom through their known persecution of Christians and imprisonment of an estimated 1 million ethnic Uyghur Muslims in the Xinjiang region, and their far-reaching intimidation and threat tactics used against those who dare speak out against these human rights violations. The United States must be vigilant in protecting our citizens against the aggression of the CCP. Darren Wood, Senior Pastor, First Baptist Church. The accusation that Bob is a Chinese spy is beyond absurd. I've known Bob both personally and professionally from my earliest days in Midland. He is no more a spy than he is 9 feet tall. If he was a spy, he was going about it all wrong. We at First Baptist Church of Midland, FBCM, stand with Bob against these accusations and threats. Please continue to pray for Bob, his wife Heidi, and their ministry. Tweet from U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. American citizen at Bob Fu for China has been a tireless advocate for religious liberty and human rights in hashtag China. Should not be threatened here in the U.S. or anywhere else. Threats from thugs are simply unacceptable.
Exercise and lumbar fusions. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm 69. 2.5 years ago, I had a double lumbar fusion and a lumbinectomy that left me with some mild back pain and stiffness. Exercise and stretching has helped, but not to the degree I had hoped. Recently, I started doing planks and bridges to build core muscles. They are difficult exercises especially the planks. It has been helping, but I wonder if I am risking harm to the four titanium posts or lumbar fusions in my back. M.W. Answer. Exercise after back surgery is generally safe. The surgical changes are very stable, and it is quite unlikely you could damage them. In fact, exercise tends to strengthen the back muscles and surgical site. I recommend a physical therapist to help guide exercise immediately after surgery, but after 2.5 years, you can certainly do exercise on your own. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, October 15th, 2020, etc. Cross-dressing causes fracture in a solid, long-time marriage. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been together for 11 years, married for 8. We have been through a lot together, which has served to strengthen our marriage. My husband is my Prince Charming and my happily forever after. Recently, he has discovered that he likes wearing women's clothes. It started with him wearing women's underwear under his clothes, which didn't bother me. I even bought him a few pair I liked. It has progressed quickly. He assures me that he isn't gay. He does not want to become a woman or want to dress in women's clothes full time. However, some of his behaviors have changed, and his wearing women's clothing has increased. When I tried discussing my concerns with him, he said I was being irrational. We fought, and I thought we had worked some things out, but he still has an attitude. I'm terrified that this is the beginning of the end of my marriage, and I don't want to lose him. But I also don't know just how much of this I can accept, or how far he wants to go. He says if I can't accept it, he will stop doing it. But we will both know that he has that desire, and I don't want to stifle something that seems to mean so much to him. I have no one I can talk to about this, Abby. Please help. Struggling in Florida. Dear Struggling, take the opportunity to learn all you can about cross-dressing. More men than you may think engage in it, and the majority are heterosexual. An excellent support group for cross-dressers and wives of men who need not like to cross-dress is the Society for the Second Self, TRI-S. Its website is TRI-ESS.org. Go there and you will find the support and answers you're looking for. Keep the lines of communication with your husband open and honest. Only the two of you can determine how to navigate through this. For many couples, it's not necessarily a deal breaker. Dear Abby, when I was 21, I got pregnant with Earl, a guy who had nothing to his name but a bicycle. It was 3 weeks after we met. Earl was 24. 2 years later, we split. I was working, and he was a stay-at-home dad, and I couldn't stand it. 5 years later, I married to a very wealthy man, moved to another country, and lived a life of luxury. 13 years later, we split. I left our small island and moved to back, still well off on my own. Earl was my rock and is a totally different man now. 16 years later, I have fallen head over heels for him. He has become everything I've always wanted. Our son wasn't crazy about it at first. He's 18, but now loves it. Earl's mother said she knew it would end up this way. My parents have reservations. Do you think we have a fighting chance? New expat in Nevada. Dear new expat, Earl is not the person he was, and frankly, neither are you. Do the two of you have a fighting chance? Absolutely. However, before marrying anyone again, it is important that you discuss this with an attorney and have in place a signed prenuptial agreement. While it may not seem romantic, it's the intelligent thing to do.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Virgo until 1:54 a.m., when the moon enters Libra. Happy birthday for Thursday, October 15, 2020. Mesmerizing, knowledgeable, and talented, you have amazing choices this lifetime. Choose and compromise carefully, and the world is your oyster. In 2021, your success and recognition will be great, although somewhat controversial. If single, a passionate yet sometimes stormy relationship is on the horizon. If attached, after the many changes your union has experienced, there is stability. Bliss ensues. Capricorn secretly adores your more outrageous side, up to a point. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. Today heightens your intuition. A partnership is forming that could be a very important part of your future. A loved one can show vulnerability. Your support and understanding mean a great deal to one who cares for you. Tonight, a relative makes a surprise announcement. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 3 stars. There will be an ease regarding love. Friendships and more serious relationships touch other areas of your life. Don't make a commitment regarding work obligations today. You might change your mind. Tonight, home and family issues must be addressed again. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. Today is wonderful for forming goals and determining what you desire most. You'll feel like initiating celebrations and other projects. Long-standing communication problems with a child or romantic interest can be overcome. Tonight, close and patient listening is vital. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. A new maturity beneficially impacts your approach to love affairs. You grow weary of those who play games. Mutual accomplishment will have more appeal. Seek ways to make your home more comfortable and appealing. Tonight, a renewed stability comforts you. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 4 stars. Although a decision or situation you've been wrestling with may return to haunt you one more time, don't despair. A solution could be right around the corner. A neighbor, relative, or friend might save the day. Compromise will help. Tonight, a sigh of relief. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 4 stars. Today brings financial opportunities in terms of buying or selling property and possessions. Those with home-based businesses will find that business starts to boom again. Take time to mull over decisions as thoughts may be divided. Tonight, your mind is restless. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 5 stars. There is a hint of myth and legend, a larger-than-life quality around you. Enjoy remote meetings, public functions, and the wider parameters of activity, but keep a sense of balance and perspective. Don't neglect details. Do keep promises. Tonight, celebrating your good luck. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. Your perpetually active inner life becomes more colorful and vivid, while you shun fanfare outwardly. It might surprise you if friends and family born under air signs accuse you of withholding information. Tonight, you manage to satiate their curiosity and still be discreet. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 5 stars. You grow through involvement with organizations today. Reach out to new groups and rise to the occasion if called upon to fill a leadership role. Members might decide to support one of your causes. Tonight, a friend who's been out of touch suddenly reappears. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 4 stars. Your ambitions and expectations about work are high, and a competitive spirit builds. Be patient and thoughtful. Eventually, your value will be much more widely recognized. Your aspirations undergo a transformation. Tonight, feeling excited about your prospects. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. Your enthusiasm and energy are high. Studies, travel, and conversations generate agreeable ideas and experiences. Your perpetual zest for the novel and intriguing is fulfilled. Get both sides of the story if there is disturbing news. Tonight, be understanding and accepting. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 5 stars. Look at repeating patterns to understand the future. Spiritual forces inspire creative expression. If you pursue your favorite art form with enthusiasm, you'll be rewarded with exceptional results. Tonight, a change of heart about relationships is in progress. Born today, epic poet Virgil, 70 BC, philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, 1844, author Italo Calvino, 1923.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.